15 of the Bad Apples, Season 2, the Great Usability episode. Yes, this is going to be the big philosophical episode in which we ponder computer usability, or system usability, I guess. The reason I am thinking about this, actually it's twofold. There was a job posting on the Canonical website a few weeks ago, or maybe even a few months ago now, and it was about a graphic designer or something in the usability department, or something like that. Anyway, it was something that I felt I might be able to do. So, on a whim, I applied for the job. And to my great surprise, they just kept sort of contacting me again and again, every step of the way. And so, you know, I mean, I threw together the resume at first, and that went in, and they contacted me back saying that they were interested. They asked me to do some kind of presentation about usability, so I threw together a little video presentation, submitted that. They loved that. And finally, we got down to a phone interview, and they didn't like me. Because I'm terrible on the phone, which I forgot to warn them about, but oh well. But anyway, it really got me thinking a lot more about usability than I had, you know, otherwise. Although it's something that interests me anyway, but certainly that's been on my mind lately because of that experience. And then just playing around with some of these portable operating systems, like the Web OS that I reviewed in episode 14, has me thinking a lot about sort of the, the way that we're presenting computers to people right now. And understand that I've worked as a tech support person and a software trainer for Macintosh-based systems, never for Windows. So I cannot come from a Windows perspective in any way. But the Mac, traditionally, is considered one of the easier systems to use. That is one of the big selling points of Mac. Well, it's user-friendly. That's the big term that people seem to say a lot. I honestly don't know what user-friendly really means, and I don't know that a lot of other people do either. And I think that's something that you learn. If you do tech support for people or any kind of training for people, you start to realize pretty quickly that there is no holy grail of user-friendliness or of usability. Everyone has their own, they're each coming from a different perspective. And so sitting someone down in front of a blank computer screen with a big button labeled "click me," you would think that that would be really kind of the bare bones user friendliness. I mean, there's a big button on the screen that says "click me," but you'd be amazed to find people out there who have gotten through, you know, years and years of their life, and they will sit down in front of that computer, and for whatever reason, they will just not be able to comprehend what they're supposed to do next. And you will have to show them how to move the mouse, make sure that the arrow is on the button, and then to click where it says "click me." So you'd be surprised, and that's an extreme example, but of course it is actually based in reality. There are people that I have trained who could not quite grasp the idea that in order for them to be able to click on a button, the cursor needed to be over the button at that time. And so it was like this weird eye-hand coordination problem that they were having, where when someone says "click on that button," they would just start clicking the mouse like crazy. And then you'd point to the cursor and show them that their cursor is down in the lower left-hand corner of the screen, and the button you just told them to click on was, for instance, in the upper right-hand corner. So it's something that, you know, there's not going to be something that you can just put in front of people and say, okay, there, that's the most user-friendly design that we could possibly make. Anyone could use it. It's just, there's no such thing. There's going to be a learning curve to pretty much everything. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just something that people are going to have to come to terms with, that a computer in front of someone is going to have to be learned. It's not going to be something that people simply grasp immediately, even if it seems simple to you. And realistically, that is what usability is about. It's about designing a system that is going to be efficient and powerful for anyone who sits in front of it, whether they're power users, new users, mobility impaired users, visually impaired, you know, whatever. Can one thing be all of these for everyone? That's a good question, and that's, I guess, sort of at the center of the whole usability question. Since this is a Linux podcast, I don't think it's going to be very surprising to hear that I personally believe Linux is on the cutting edge of usability. There are so many different working environments available in Linux that the question of usability really becomes, I guess it's almost solved for the typical power user, the geek. I don't see that they could possibly want much more from the user interface of Linux. And so when we're talking about usability, we're rarely talking about, can this be used well from a power user perspective? I mean, whether you want Fluxbox so that you can be working mostly in the terminal and juggling whatever graphic items you want, you know, just as they're brought up in Fluxbox, or whether you're talking about KDE, where you have so many different options, or whether you just want something clean but powerful like GNOME. You've got so many, or XFCE. You've got so many choices. I just can't imagine there being much of a question about whether, you know, a power user is going to be satisfied with the options presented to them in Linux. So I believe that the usability question at this point, I believe, is much more centered around new users and impaired visually or motor impairment, people with visual or motor impairment. So, obviously, one of the things I think for new users that is a big problem is the mouse. And this is actually a problem for power users as well. The mouse really is a dying breed. And, you know, it was great when we only had the keyboard. But now the mouse is basically, it's one level of separation between transferring ideas that we have in our head into what we want the computer to do for us. And it's not really as intuitive as we would think. As I've said, I've run into people who really just don't get the mouse. It's they don't understand when to click, when to double click, when to click and drag, when to click and then move the mouse. You know, I mean, it's when you think about it, it doesn't seem complex, but when you list out all the different combinations of different things that you can do with the mouse, and how when you click versus when you release the button, and when you move the mouse, and what, you know, whether you're releasing it or not in relation to when you started the dragging, I mean, all that stuff, if you think about it like that and pretend like you don't know any better, it does sound like it could be complex. And indeed it is. Obviously, the next big thing, one of the interfaces that I use actually every day, sometimes more than I use a normal computer, is a touch interface, which appears on my Nokia N800, also appears in a slightly different form on the iPhone, the multi-touch. It was on the much laughed at Microsoft Surface, although, you know, if you separate it from Microsoft and separate it from its announcement having come right before the iPhone, you can see the usefulness and the progressiveness of the idea of having an entire surface that you would have as, you know, an article of furniture or something that would be computerized, and you can file things and move data around visually on a touch surface. So all these things, and even, like, you know, for graphic designers, the Wacom or the Wacom tablets, where you draw with a pen and what you're drawing appears on screen, even they have actually now an interface that is actually your monitor as well. So it's basically a touchscreen monitor. So this is the next big deal. Direct interaction with the file system or with the computer interface, I guess, and you as the person. I think that would be much more direct than a mouse. I think the mouse is a problem. It's hard to control. I think it's on the way out. Whether you're going to be touching the screen all the time to do everything or not depends. I think that the keyboard is still one of the most powerful interface devices that we have. So that, although it's not, I guess, what you would say intuitive, it certainly is one of the more powerful interfaces. I mean, keyboard shortcuts are so important. They speed things up so quickly. They require, you know, if your fingers are on the keyboard anyway, you've got a keyboard shortcut. You can do whatever you want to simply with a couple of presses of different keys. They're not intuitive, of course. A power user on Windows or Mac who might be used to all the different keyboard shortcuts on that platform will come over to Linux, and I mean, for the basics, they might know them, but they're going to be lost on certain other things. So they're not intuitive. That's their weakness. But they do need to be there. And part of usability, I think, is that it can be in a unified package, but there can be also layers of usability. And so as you first come to that package, this interface, you have everything out where you can get to it intuitively. But as those become cumbersome for you, you can peel those layers off until you've kind of stripped it down into something that would resemble, I guess, Fluxbox, where you can do everything with the keyboard, or even Rat Poison, where you can do everything with the keyboard. You know, so you get levels of where you need to be as you either have incentive to learn the quicker ways of doing things, or if you're just okay with the slower, more intuitive way of doing it. So the desktop. Now think about this. What do we look at the most on our computer? Well, it's the screen, right? You know, and typically, let's say about, 97% of that screen is basically covered up with a decoration. You know, some random picture that we throw onto our screen, we call it a wallpaper, and it does absolutely nothing. It serves no purpose. I was starting to really think about this after episode 14, when I'd been playing with the web-based WebOS, webos.info, and I realized that even though this was this shiny, bright, new operating system that you could access via the internet, the reason it looked so official and so, oh yes, this is an operating system, is because it was emulating this same kind of method or the same paradigm that we've been doing for so long, and it's the classic desktop with a couple of folders and some place for some menus, and that was that. And it's just, it's funny because while I do love KDE 4, and I think that they're probably, you know, in my mind, for my money, they're doing that paradigm the best. I just don't think that that paradigm is necessarily the most efficient. 97% of the thing that we look at the most on the computer, which is the screen, covered by something that does nothing. That seems very inefficient. And so you can see people going toward more efficient spaces. For instance, Conky, the plugin to show you all your system stats up, you know, just on your desktop, basically. The idea of, but probably not quite, widgets in Mac OS X, whatever they call them in Vista, the Karumba widgets for KDE and the Plasmoids in KDE 4. These little tiny apps that have basically extraneous information outside of what you are actually doing. You know, they're not necessarily implemented that well in certain systems, but, I mean, they're there, and there's that kind of a desire to get more things into our site so that we can, that we're looking at our desktop and we're getting more information. And I think one of the keys to this could be a truly interactive desktop, specifically a feedback-oriented display. When you select, for instance, you open up a window, right? You select a document, you click on a document. In order to see what kind of document that is, if you're not sure, you would have to, for instance, maybe right-click on it, and then maybe go to the Open With, see what kind of applications it's suggesting that you might be able to open this with. Or you might have to go to Properties to see what kind of information it thinks the file contains. But what about a desktop that gives you feedback as you click on things? So you click on a file, and rather than just seeing blank wallpaper, you see a list of the applications that you could open that with. You see the properties of that file out on that empty space on the desktop that's doing nothing for you anyways. Not only would that be really handy for the power user who needs to maybe find out what a certain file, you know, was created in, but it would also be possibly more intuitive for someone who's a new user. Maybe they clicked on the document and they don't know what to do now. The feedback on the desktop could suggest different things to them. It could tell them what to do next if they seem unsure. Something like that. Instant feedback and contextual information on basically everything that you're doing. Efficiency is a good measurement, I think, of an interface that is usable. Watching someone who's new to a computer try to, for instance, throw away a file is sometimes a painstaking process. You'd be amazed. I mean, watching them just find the file in the first place is usually pretty tough, which is why everyone's all about desktop searching now, so that people don't actually have to figure out how to get into their file system and find the file that they want, and then figure out where the trash can is and how to get that file into that trash can. This is, again, where keyboard shortcuts seems like it would be fantastic. You know, I mean, a key that is assigned a certain function for your operating environment. Again, it might not be terribly intuitive, but if you have contextual feedback on your desktop, it might become more intuitive because it will be telling people, for instance, press F for file, to find a file, or to go to your files, to go to your file system, whatever. Press A to go to your applications. I don't know, things like this that people can not only see on their desktop, but can find easily on their keyboard, and suddenly they'll be where they need to be, rather than doing the whole dragging the mouse to the correct icon, opening that up, going into whatever subfolder, and then finding the file, and then dragging the file out to the trash, that kind of thing. Obviously, a power user would simply hit delete, and the file would be gone. But a lot of people don't understand that. The keyboard has a unique advantage, and that is that it's very familiar to people. I dare say that it's been around so long that I guess there just aren't any people around now that don't know the keyboard. I'm not talking about meta keys and specialized keys. People don't seem to know those so well. But letters, those are symbols that they recognize immediately. And even if they don't know how to type very well, they have some idea of where those letters are on the keyboard. Or they can at least, in the very worst case scenario, which I've never encountered, they can at least find that letter with enough hunting. So far, I've never had anyone not be able to find a letter on the keyboard. I mean, they usually go straight to it. Even those people who are just kind of hunting and pecking typing, even they know where that letter is. And they don't question that. The minute you throw any kind of meta key or some kind of specialized key, like a page up or even the return key or a delete key, that seems to throw them for a loop. But the letters are recognizable. Numbers are recognizable. Those things, if we had hot keys assigned to those letters while you're out in your file system, that could speed things up quite a bit. Desktop search, I know, is a big deal. I'm not so into desktop search because I just don't seem to see that many people actually using the desktop search. Whether it just needs to be more prominent or whether it's just not something that people really want to use, I'm not sure. But I'm not too into the whole desktop search idea. It may just need more prominence, I don't know. A lot of people, however, they really seem to kind of want to know where the file is physically. And I know, like, a lot of people would say, well, you don't need to know where the file is, you just need to find the file. But in my experience, people seem to really want to know where that file is, which is interesting to me, and it might just be a remnant of the way we've been doing things. People just know that they have to go to a certain folder to find the file, and that's what they're going to do until they are told, you don't need to know where the file is, you simply search for it, it will appear for you, and now you can open it, and as long as you're doing the right thing and you're backing up your system, you don't have to worry about like where it is and if it's safe and all that other stuff. I'm not sure. It could be that. I think that CompuS Fusion is great. And Matisse and all those other kind of visual things. I really do find that enhances usability quite a lot. Simply because they supply feedback. And visual feedback for people is important. People don't like to do something and not receive confirmation that it's happened. So when they're minimizing windows, you know, they want to see that window has gone somewhere, and they want to see where it's gone, because the human mind can understand that if an object moves in a very clear trail from one place to another place, that object is now located in the last place they saw it. And so if it's being minimized into the dock or into a kicker or whatever visual interface you're using, as long as they see it go there, they'll probably be able to find it again. So more animation. CompuS Fusion does a lot with keyboard shortcuts, so that when you're switching desktop spaces and things like that, it gives you feedback. Hey, here's a big cube, we're flipping it over right now. Now you're on a new desktop. It's hard for people to misunderstand that if they at least know the concept of multiple desktops, which admittedly not that many people do. But that kind of feedback is what I'm talking about. Wow, all this philosophizing is making me thirsty for coffee. I'm going to make myself a cup right now. You do the same for yourself, or you can grab a Mountain Dew if you prefer, and we'll get right back into it. A great deal of, I guess, not power users, other people using computers, a great deal of them do not understand any kind of separation between operating system, the operating environment, so like the window manager and the file manager, things like that, the applications that they run within that environment, and the data that they create within those applications. To them, the whole package is the same thing. Now, to help people understand the difference between all these elements, there could be visual cues. So that, for instance, if you're going, let's just say, inside the computer for some data, so you're in your file manager, and you open up a window. Rather than floating that window on top of the desktop, which doesn't differentiate it anymore from anything else that they're doing, for instance, opening up an application, you could make that window appear to be recessed within the desktop, as if though you're opening up the desktop and kind of looking into the desk, as it were, rummaging through files. When you open the file and you're looking at the data within an application, that could be floating on top of the desktop, just as if though we had taken it out of a filing cabinet and put it down on our desktop. Things like this. I mean, it doesn't have to be that idea, but some kind of visual consistency to indicate to the user what they're dealing with, and that there is a difference, even if they don't, if they're not cognizant of why there's a difference, there will be that visual clue, so that they can see that there is a difference. They're looking at a file inside of the computer. They haven't opened it up yet, and now they've opened it, and it's in an application, and so it's different. Help files is one of those things that's kind of, you almost think it's really, really important 1 minute, and then you think it's useless the other minute, because no matter how great your help files are, your manual pages, you look over at a new user and they don't want to bother with a help file, either because they're just impatient, because they're human, or they're afraid of the computer anyway, and they don't want to click on anything that they don't have to. But help files are obviously important. Documentation is important. Linux, I know, is always working on getting better documentation, as is any software company. Think about the current state of most instruction manuals that you find for software being sold on the shelf. Most of the documentation in those boxes are really, really bad, or not very, I guess, user friendly in themselves, and so people end up going and buying the manuals from a bookstore. They're not true manuals, they're more like tutorials, but they're certainly helpful, and that's what people are turning toward. So continued maintenance of help files is going to be important, and it needs to be prominently accessible, so that people who do not know how to do something can find that information quickly. It also needs to be a little bit more than just text, I think. While it's nice to have the text there, certainly screenshots and things like that is very important as well. I think screencasts are great. I think that when people figure something out and do a screencast of it, I think that's one of the most helpful things ever. I just think that's really, really helpful. Obviously, encouraging the user to find help is a good thing as well, and that's, again, one of the weaknesses of the whole usability question, is the motivation of the person. Are they going to bother posting a question in a forum? Are they going to bother clicking on a help menu? Are they going to bother reading that article? Are they going to bother with Google? All the time I'm helping people set up their email, and no matter how many times I point them to specifically Gmail's setup, how to set up the email. Google has great documentation on how to do this for every email client imaginable, every graphical email client imaginable. And people simply, they won't do it, they can't do it. It requires a technician to read through the Google page and to mimic all the little screenshots for them. I can't explain it, but there you go. Even so, there are users who like help files. I'm one of them, and the documentation is important, and it should never be buried away. It should be... And I guess my final thought on the whole subject is the toolbox mentality. Right now, you know, the current model requires or suggests that we use what I've been using, you know, the desktop analogy. You've got files stored in a file cabinet, you take a file out, you place it on the desk, you do your work, and then you file it back. And while that does, I mean, that really works well sometimes, that's a good way to think about sort of the idea of what we're doing. But it's not exactly accurate, because when you're working at your desk, you don't have a million applications to choose from and different things within those applications. It's just it's a simpler process. It's much more akin to going out to a workbench and you know, going out to make I don't know, whatever people make at workbenches, a chair. You know, you've got things that you've got your supplies that you need to gather. You've got a whole range of tools to choose from. You know, you've got hammers, which might use, you know, a big nail might use a small nail. You've got screwdrivers, both the Phillips head and the other kind. You've got different screws. You've got drywall screws. You've got wood screws. You've got drills with different drill bits with different, you know, different power. You might have like a battery operated little drill that just kind of can handle certain jobs, but then you'll have a big drill for the really heavy lifting kind of stuff. You know, you've got like just all these tools, and people don't realize that their computer basically is that. It's a toolbox. It's full of different tools, and there's not necessarily a right one to use. You know, for a certain application, you don't necessarily have to do all your WordPress processing in this big fancy office application. You could also use just a little notepad, or whatever. You know, you've got different applications, you've got different things, and it's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to get angry with. It's simply something to look at, to learn about the tools, and to choose the best tool for the job. And that's not the way that most new users or non-power users sit down at a computer. It's quite often a fairly frightening experience for them. They just want to get whatever they have to get done done, and then they want to shut the thing off and walk away. Somehow changing that mentality, I think, would increase usability right off the bat. Simply the notion that in order for them to use their computer effectively, they don't have to feel like they're being conspired against. They don't have to feel like it's a mystery or like it's overly complex. They simply need to feel like they need to find out, that they need to identify what tool they need to get a certain job done, and then learn how to use the tool, and they'll be on their way. Now, I know that isn't a very specific kind of usability idea, but I think that's the kind of perceptual shift that we need to encourage just across the board. Now, as more people are growing up with computers, with modern operating systems, there's going to be, I think, a little bit less of, I guess, usability concerns, because you've got a lot of people just kind of growing up with it and kind of getting to know the system. And so in a way, I think that the question of usability will, in a way, solve itself in terms of, you know, that sort of classical, my grandmother, new user mentality. You know, we're always talking about our mother or our grandmother when we look at an operating system and say, well, is that usable for a new user? At some point, we're going to start thinking, is that going to be usable for, you know, my lesser technically inclined sister or my brother who, you know, whatever. So someone a little bit closer to home, for instance. But I still think that the usability is going to be an issue, because obviously it's the efficiency of the user experience. And that's where the, I guess, a lot of the power user stuff does come into play, because for it to be truly efficient, I think a lot of stuff does, you know, you just kind of have to get to know it and learn it and memorize certain things about it. But I think that there's a lot of good stuff, you know, for feedback. I mean, visual feedback, visual clues as to what to do, contextual kinds of clues, things like that, that could be increased and kind of elaborated upon. And it's something that I hope, you know, we can all work at in the Linux community so we can blow away the competition. Bad Apples, you can do so at gort.cloud2@gmail.com. You can also find the website at thebadapples.info. Music was by Fat Chance Lester. The email again, gort.cloud2@gmail.com.